You're listening to the Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo!
And we're from the otakuspirit.com website, where you can go for all of our anime, new and old. Great community in the forum links at the top, social media links on the right side, and all that good stuff. Today's episode is on cute girls doing cute things. Now, we're not cute girls doing a podcast. We're just two guys talking about cute girls that do cute things.
Are you sure?
Don't do that. Tell me. Yeah, this is an interesting podcast because I've been wanting to talk about cute girls doing cute things. I mean, of course, we talk about cute girls doing cute things every time a show comes out that kind of has that category. But it was kind of it's funny because it was a mixture of just wanting to, like with all the genre-based podcasts, it's always kind of an excuse to make a list of what we think is in that genre and then have an excuse to actually talk about them. And just kind of put them in one little bundle and talk about the differences that you would find in it. And so that was kind of the initial reason why I made I actually didn't make an outline. I just made, like, literally, I made a document that was called Cute Girls Doing Cute Things. It's funny because I went back to look at the thing and I'm like, okay, let's see if I've got anything in it so that we can do a podcast on it for this particular period of time between our first impressions and the final reviews. And it was literally empty. And I'm like, okay, I thought I put something in here. I at least thought that I put some actual shows in there. So it was cool because I think the interesting thing that came out of doing the outline now was that I didn't really want to make it necessarily just about the shows, but really kind of pegging where I believe it began. Because, and we kind of joked about the fact that, you know, we're not sure if we coined the term cute girls doing cute things. It could have been possibly... We heard it some... It's like everything else. You'd think that you may have originated it, but it probably was somebody else that you heard say it at some point, and you just... It stuck in your head, and then when you went to go talk about it, it became a thing.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things where I don't remember exactly where it began. Because it's funny because... And we'll get into this more later, but it's one of those genres that... It's not technically an official genre, of course.
Right.
You don't go to Wikipedia and you see, you know, genre, slice of life, cute girls doing cute things. It was just one of those things where we had to label something with this attribute that wasn't necessarily available yet. And I get, like I said, we'll get more into it later on, but cute girls doing cute things, just to kind of give people a general perspective before we get into more details on it, is strictly a show that it's... major attribute is the fact that it is cute girls doing cute things. It is a group of girls, typically a group of girls, sometimes, you know, 3 to 5, maybe, you know, upwards of 10 different side characters, but it's kind of like a small group of friends usually that are kind of doing something cute.
Yeah, whatever it is that they want to do.
And that was the kind of interesting thing that I kind of wanted to expand on.
But there is a very important aspect to doing whatever they want to do. They have to be doing it cutely.
It has to be cute, yes. So yeah, that's kind of the basic idea of it. It's just kind of this central focus is that being that they're just cute and they're just doing something completely random. And it's funny because its creation is kind of something that I feel was kind of built out of the onset of the Moe culture. Of course, you know, if you've listened to us long enough, you'll probably have heard us talk about this before, or if you were been in the anime sphere for a long time. If not, you probably don't know this, but starting out, anime was kind of a hodgepodge. You know, it was like, you know, action stuff, a lot of action stuff. It was mostly violence and just crazy stuff happening, and that was kind of the draw to anime early on. Was like, it's very adult animation. You know, you right. had things like, you know, Gundam, you had then you had Akira, you have, you know, hyper violent stuff that's getting really psychological. You get an Evangelion, and then at some point, you know, some people claim this to be a bad thing, some people appreciate this. At some point, the focus kind of shifted from the more adult violence and grown-up stuff and mature stuff to more cute girls. At some point, the industry realized that, you know, people really like cute girls. They like these very attractive characters, and this stuff sells. So while we argued, especially in our Is Anime Dying podcast, where it's not necessarily that the amount of those shows disappeared, it was more that more shows were being created, and a lot of those new shows being created were focused on selling female characters as a franchise, as merchandise. And so you did kind of see this increased amount of shows that you might not say that had like deep plots or anything like that, but it was like a focus on, here's some attractive characters, aren't they cute, let's show them do silly stuff. And thus kind of this moe culture, this cute girls selling franchises culture kind of started blossoming.
Yeah, they're
blossoming like moe.
And I'm sure that there's an aspect of, you know, different industries jumping in going, hey, can you do a cute girls doing X thing? You know, it's not necessarily like I automatically think of, you know, the how heavy are the dumbbells that you lift, and like you have in the list, the girls in the breakwater, stuff like that. Not necessarily that maybe they are actually going in and saying, hey, we want to make a commercial for this
that is literally prefecture advertising the way it does.
The prefectures.
I mean, our Days of the Breakwater, I believe, is a prefecture that they're trying to focus on there.
There you go.
There's a lot of these that are, when you see the initial, you know, information about it, it is funded by a group that is trying to bring focus to a certain prefecture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was like that one, you don't know, Gunma?
Yeah.
That show was literally about Gunma. I hope I'm saying that properly. I think I got in trouble last time. I didn't pronounce it correctly, but it was a focus on that. And that's a lot of these ones is this focus on drawing attention to a prefecture and how they do that. They make cute girls that have an adventure there or something like that. Mm-hmm. It's very rarely about, you know, some dudes going out. Yeah, you might have some pretty boy ones, but I don't think I've ever seen one that has pretty boys that's showing a prefecture. It's usually just cute girls that explore the encouragement to climb.
Just wait for
that.
You don't know Tokyo.
Layback camp.
It'll be pretty boys.
Yeah, layback camp, encouragement to climb. Those were really focused on that stuff. And yeah, they had cute characters that were the draw for it.
It is one of those really fascinating things. I almost want to, because it goes back and forth from an artwork perspective, where we've talked about the shift in the artwork style over time that has definitely obviously emerged. I mean, you can look at an anime from the 60s compared to the 70s and the 90s and then now, and it's obviously changed over time. And right now we are in a vastly moe type artwork style, and it is fascinating to consider. If you take the idea of how the artwork has shifted over the time and place it next to the different things that were predominant during that time frame, and that this being cute girls doing cute things being the most predominant of the moe time frame,
Yeah, I think that's an important thing to kind of acknowledge, is that it's not necessarily that the only this group of, I guess, storytelling, if you want to put it that, it encourages this type of art style, this type of, I guess, display, because all of them are doing the same thing. It's just this one is seems to be more of the focus because that's the only thing it's really offering. I mean, the thing that I was going to get into eventually is, you know, again, cute girls doing cute things is not necessarily a genre. It's just something that we labeled it because there was no real heavy label to put on a show. So if you do have something like, I don't know, like Laidback Camp's a good example. Laidback Camp, yeah, you might label it as a slice of life.
Slice of life, club show.
Yeah, club show is not necessarily even a genre in itself, but yeah, you can call it a club show.
It is.
But I think that's the important thing, too, to note is that I feel like the label that we, at least, started claiming that being was, like, at the edge of the club show boom. Like, because mm-hmm. we had, again, going back in the time, we've talked about this before, you had a buddy cop type show boom where there was just a lot of cop drama type animes. And then it went into, like, mecha. There was tons of mecha. I remember at some point people were just yelling, I am sick of mecha. Now we don't have any mecha at all. we had a club show period where it was just nothing but clubs. I think when we first started, we were at the edge of that.
Yeah.
And I was one of the people that was like, I'm sick of club shows. Like, mm-hmm. it's just the same thing. They go in a room, they just banter. And then that went away. And I think right at the edge of that club show kind of boom, we went into this, I guess, not really necessarily a boom of this. We do have more, you know, these days, the last few years, it seems like we have a lot more, but it took a while to get there, but we're getting to that point where when the club shows started disappearing, it started becoming, you started seeing more of this cute girl doing cute things, because, you had shows like, you know, K-On!, but at that time when K-On! Was out, I don't think necessarily that there was an existence of specifically cute girls doing cute things. They were cute girls doing cute things, but it was a club show, and we labeled it as a club show.
All right,
they were a band show.
Now we're going. Club. Now we're going into other worlds to get the cute girls.
Yeah, exactly. So it is funny that this is my mindset of trying to really nail this down is not necessarily to say people were wrong if they did call it a cute girls doing cute things show when K-On! Was out, or Lucky Star was not a cute girls doing cute things because that was more a comedy. It's more of me trying to label what is our opinion for the Otaku Spirit when we felt that that became an actual thing.
Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, how would you, what would you kind of, I mean, obviously K-On! Is kind of the easy pick. And my automatic inclination is to lean back towards, obviously this is a spurn off of Magical Girls. I think that is, maybe it got stuck into a kids show realm and now it's came into the mainstream more as a if you want to call it a quote unquote genre, but I agree with you. It's not really a genre per se. So it's more of a, I could kind of see, okay, maybe you have some kids shows where some cute girl is learning something, and so therefore it became a thing there, and then at some point, maybe down the road, you have different types of shows where that are targeted towards kids, just like Magical Girls in general. It's not necessarily that it became mainstream until the quote unquote otaku culture jumped on it and started just becoming, yes, a
Sailor Moon was technically made for kids.
Right.
And what happened? Adults took on to it. It's like they're going, wait, so we can make Magical Girls focused on to, you know, the older audience?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
And that's my thing is when otaku culture finds something that it likes, it has a fervent passion towards this stuff, and that's money. And money is really what decides the direction of a lot of these things. Why is isekai big right now? Because money. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. So if you have a ravenous audience that really, really wants cute girls doing cute things, they're going to happily oblige.
That's just a really interesting idea for another podcast, is to go down the timeline of the fandoms of certain things. Go into, like, where we think the heavy point was of the mecha genre. And again, like you just mentioned, the isekai is pretty much what we're dealing with right now, is the big hot tank, hot, you know, genre right now is doing isekai everything. And I think we even had a short periods of times of Yashike, which I don't think gets enough attention as well. So that interesting idea to do another podcast of like deep diving on.
Yeah, that's kind of what my brain is going down of this path of how did we get from basically Sailor Moon, which, or Creamy Mommy, which she was a very cute girl. And how do you get from Creamy Mommy to K-On? How do you get from one place to the other?
Yeah. And I think a lot of that has to do with just kind of one show making a huge step out and getting so much attention, and everybody else going, oh, we got to capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
We got to make a show out of another manga that is similar idea, and maybe we'll get as much money as that did. I'm certain many of them were riding the Evangelion and Gundam train when they started making tons and tons of mecha type shows. So it does kind of spawn itself. But yeah, I guess to kind of reel it back a little, because I don't want to show my cards too much and getting into where I think it actually began, because I want to get that more into when we start talking about individual shows. But yeah, it's interesting, because it's the cute girls doing cute thing genre. Again, we're calling it a genre for the sake of this episode. Is probably the most difficult show to say that you like. I mean, yeah, I would even argue that there's many people that when they talk about hentai, they're usually kind of like, you know, yeah, what is it? And they're like, well, okay, so you just like hentai. I mean, that's weird, but sure. But explain to somebody that you like, because I think with hentai, it's more like a thing. You're bringing that out, and people are so uncomfortable, they're not going to kind of come back at you.
No, they're just automatically going to go, oh, so you like that tentacle stuff?
Yeah, but no.
No!
There's more to that. There's plot. It's like Playboy's has articles. But no, what I mean is, like, it's something that you think that you should be okay, you should be comfortable and be able to show that you like it and not get as much, like, raised brow as if you were to say if you liked hentai. So it's like they're both one of those things where if somebody was sitting in front of you that doesn't know you like anime, or maybe they like anime but not too much, and you put, you know, a DVD in front of them and it's a hentai, it's equally as difficult to put a DVD in front of them that is like, you know, three colors, and they go, okay, what is this about? Well, it's these characters and they're really cute and they just have fun. And there's one that likes, you know, bread, the crust from bread from a store. I think that was that one, that show.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of look at you like, but, I mean, is there a story? I mean, is it a comedy? No, it's not really a comedy. They're cute. And then they're kind of going to look at you like, oh, so you like these cute little girls. No, it's not like that. and that's the difficulty in that, because it's like it's a type of show that you can't really go, well, just wait till it gets to this plot twist. You can't say, well, there's these amazing action scenes. You can't give them something that doesn't make you look like a criminal, basically. And it's funny because it's not necessarily that cute girls doing cute thing doesn't necessarily have to mean moe. Sometimes it's more kawaii. It's more cute.
Right.
It's not always attractive. It's not always going for attractive. A good example is The Order of the Rabbit. I mean, besides I forget what her name is, the older girl that I really liked with the guns.
Right.
They're not really portrayed as sexual or attractive. They're just cute. And it is this idea of these cute characters that are kind of like a daughter or a niece or somebody that you're, you know, taking care of at a time or something like that. And they do something cute and you go, that was adorable. You're so cute. Let me pinch your cheeks. It's not an attraction. It is literally just a, you know, it's entertainment based on just the cuteness of a character and what they're doing and having fun and being bright and being happy most of the time. And it is, and I'm getting more into why I'm the later section of why we like it so much, but something that just brightens your day and you're entertained by it. It's the Kimono Friends concept, the Segoy. Oh my gosh, she found something she's excited about again. I don't care what it is, but she's happy and I want to be happy too. And so it is odd that it is a genre that it's hard to explain to people why it's so good. And do you agree or disagree?
No, I very much
it's
agree.
It's like Hidori Bocchi. When Hidori Bocchi was out, everybody hated that season. There was nothing really big in that season. And what was everybody, when they were asking me, well, there's nothing here. What do we watch? Hidori Bocchi. So what is it about? Bocchi. Bocchi does. She's so cute. You're rooting for her. You want her to be happy. You just want to see her smile. Why can't she just smile? Kind of thing.
I agree. The best thing that you said was your daughter or your niece or your own
younger sibling.
It's really hard to kind of it's such an amorphous thing that you're trying to explain what it is that they have that you want to express. And it just comes down to the ultimate thing of I want to see them succeed. Whatever it is that they're doing, it could be the most mundane thing ever, like the girls in the Country Bumpkin Girls, where they're just out there just wandering the streets and playing with the
you're the overprotective father in the bushes waiting for some predator to come by that you can tackle with your knife or something.
It comes down to just watching them have fun. I mean, when you go out and
until Renge cries
exactly, and you can't do that in real life anymore because automatically you are an evil person. So
real life, please. You will be arrested.
So we have our cute girls doing cute things, TV shows where we are safe and nobody thinks that we're weird.
But they still do.
They still
and that's
think
the whole
we're
point
weird.
Of this section of the whole podcast.
And really what it is you just want to see them happy. And that's really what it comes down to is it's a matter of just watching these kids have fun.
The main point of that whole thing is that it is the explanation of why you enjoy something when there isn't something inherently valuable there to anybody that doesn't get it. And that's the troubling thing. It goes back to our discussion about, I don't know which podcast we talked about this specifically, and I think it was probably the separating the art from the artist, I believe. I don't remember exactly where it was at. But it was a discussion about the idea of, you know, when you have a show that has a young character in it, and that young character, Erased was a big one that we discussed about that whole thing. And Erased, you had this, it was a perfectly good show, but there was this huge drama being built on it because they had one scene where the mother was in the bath with the younger girl. And it doesn't show anything, but it is, you know, you do see bare skin. And the big drama that comes from that was, of course, I can't watch the show. Why they have to have this scene in it? The immediate thought is it's sexualizing this little girl. And it's like, but I didn't see it that way. And many people that were defending it was like, what do you mean? Did you get that out of it? I didn't. I seen a lady with this girl. And again, it's a cultural thing. It's the whole idea that when they go into the bath or whatever, or the bathhouse, it is a stripping of all your defenses and you're able to communicate things. And that was a point where she was able to get this girl away from the boy and have a conversation and connect and bond, almost like a mother and a daughter. And that was the whole point of that entire scene was that. But everybody was focused on the fact that this girl wasn't there naked. And that was the same concept with, what was that show called? It was the one with the Showman Sample.
Yeah,
that was another one that we brought up was that, and maybe it's something wrong with me, but when I watched that show and they had this very young looking character, I don't remember exactly what triggered it, but he would turn his
when
back
she would
on
get,
her
when
for
she
a
would,
brief moment and she would strip.
When she would get focused on doing her mathematics or something.
She would just suddenly strip.
Yeah.
And everybody, of course, was upset about it, and, you know, rightly so. But my mindset when I watched that show is I didn't go, oh my gosh, this is pervy. I seen this as, and again, when we talked about it, I was focused on this aspect of, like, you know, what I thought about at that particular time, what it reminded me of was when I used to babysit. My mother had a friend, and her daughter, we used to always watch her, and I would have to babysit her a lot of times. And yeah, every now and then, she just felt like, you know, these clothes are uncomfortable, and she'd rip them off. And you'd have to go round them up and reclothe or whatever. But it wasn't a thing. It was just literally, there's this kid that I'm taking care of. She just gets uncomfortable. She takes them off, and I put them back on. There's nothing more to it than that. And that's totally what I was thinking of when I watched that show. So it seemed normal to me. But to other people, it was seen as a sexualizing this little girl. And again, in that whole discussion, we talked about the intent of the writer. We don't know if their intent was that. Maybe they had that thought process. Man, I have my niece, and she does this all the damn time. I'll make this character do that just for fun. We don't know the intent, and it's going to be different for every person what they get out of that. But the whole idea that I'm bringing into this whole concept is that even if it's a show that is going for moe or kawaii or cute, I don't know why I have to say kawaii, it is going for more. Sometimes it's not really necessarily about sexualizing the character. Sometimes it's just being cute. But there is technically a lot of cute girls and cute things show where they are, again, moe-ified, or they're trying to make them actually attractive. Not necessarily sexualizing them, but just maybe making them attractive. And there's some shows that will have, again, like I mentioned with Izzy or the Rabbit. And I know that another one that I put in here, which was... there's a lot of Hanako Note. That was another one that had, like, one kind of big sister character that they did kind of do that stuff with. Like, that was the character that they kind of deemed as being the more adult of the group, and so they would, you know, put her in more fan service-y moments. But for the most part, they were kind of trying to keep it very mature-ish.
There was also the guy in
not mature-ish.
Listen to me.
Clean.
Listen to me. I'm listen to me, girls. I'm your father.
Okay. And there was him up again.
That guy. That
that guy that ruined everything.
Yeah, that ruins everything. Cute girls are not immune to the ecchi effect or the moe effect. It's just that when we're talking about cute girls doing cute things, we're kind of trying to separate the two, because there is a separation factor. I mean, I still, like Andrew mentioned, the one girl that kind of sexualizes the other girls in Is the Order a Rabbit.
But she didn't sexualize them. She's more adult-ish. So the show wasn't really afraid of showing her, you know, nothing but her underwear and kind of getting close up to her.
Yeah. I mean, so it's not, that's another one of those effects of fan service. I mean, there is technically a market for it. I hate that, but there is technically a market for it. Unfortunately, it doesn't take away from the fact that there is still all of these other things, that there is a lot of, I mean, I can't think of a scene in Kurono Mosaic or in some of these other ones that you have in the list. I mean, Lucky Star kind of straddled the line on its jokes, its humor, not necessarily sexualizing the girls, just sexualizing their jokes. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's about as close to it as anything that you can get out of that one.
And I'm not trying to draw the line between the two of them, because, like I mentioned before, I do believe that there is a lot of the cute girls doing cute things genre that is trying to be attractive. But I guess it's more of the idea that it is one of those difficult things that makes the genre hard to sell to people, because you're trying to say the reason that you watch is because they're just cute girls doing cute things, but then they're like, well, there's got to be something else there. There's got to be an alternative motive that you're trying to go with. And it might just be the attractiveness of the characters. And it's like, no, not necessarily. It's not as always about that. Again, it's about that concept of just watching these, you know, like I said, a younger kid just doing something. And you're just there going, that was adorable. Please do that again. Get the camera out. We gotta record this and send it into somewhere. So, yeah, it is a, I guess it kind of beat that whole concept to death. So, what is the draw to cute girls doing cute things? We've kind of hit on that a little bit, but I don't think we've really kind of specifically said. What is your reasoning why you enjoy cute girls doing cute things?
No, like we said earlier, just watching the girls actually have fun and do whatever it is that they want to do. I don't think there's really much more, at least from my standpoint of... Well, of course, I do like the cutesiness of the characters, if that makes sense. But when it comes down to it, I just love seeing them happy and doing things.
And I think that's the main thing for me is that, yeah, it's a lot of cases, it's just... I meant to put a whole segment in here just specifically for Dogokubo, because they're pretty much one of the studios that really kind of took off with that. And it seemed like nothing, they weren't doing anything but cute girls doing cute things. And so I kind of label them as the cute girls doing cute things studio, because, I mean, yeah, technically with Kyoto Animation, it felt like they were that studio, just because all the characters they made were just characters, if you like their art style, which we technically did. They just seemed like they were throwing out shows that were like, I could watch just to watch this character be happy and have fun. Like, that was the whole draw to K-On, was just a lot of characters that were just fun to be around, and you wanted to see them smile and have fun. But Dogokubo was one that kind of, I think, spurred up at the time frame where I think it kind of made it big and it was really taking off, and you had a lot of shows coming out specifically for this. But it is an art style. Sometimes it is a choice of, like, tone, because with a lot of cases of these types of shows, the reason why I'm drawn to them is specifically for the smile factor. Like, they are the happy factor. And it's not necessarily that when I go into them, it's not necessarily I'm looking for anything really truly engaging. And granted, there's certain shows that don't seem to, I guess, get the tone right or get the style right, and it's really hard to explain exactly what that style is like. Like,
it's Iyashike that's not technically relaxing.
Right, because in most cases they're loud and they're fun and they're trying to be exciting, whereas mm-hmm. Iyashike is more relaxing and very subtle toned.
I totally derailed you, I'm sorry.
But it doesn't always hit the mark, and so I want to get that straight. Like, I don't always find these shows to be, you know, drawn to them. And a good example of that recently was I would more put it in the club shows areas, but it is technically would be, you know, semi or right alongside it being labeled equally as a cute girls doing cute things, and that was Asteroid of Love. And that show didn't do it, but there's plenty of other ones that just nail it.
We technically didn't get through the entire thing either, unless you...
Right, I didn't get through it because it wasn't doing it. It wasn't a show that was interesting, but I was looking for one at the time. And we kind of here recently in the last few years, and, you know, there's reasons for it, kind of were drawn to having at least one show a season that would be like the sugar show of the season. Like, mm-hmm. we were coined the sugar show of the season. And that particular season, I was wanting that to be because it was the Dogokubo. I'm like, it's got to be it. Here's our sugar show of the season. I think it ended up being Endro or something like that. There was some kind of isekai show, or maybe it was I said not to make my powers overpower my abilities average next life or whatever.
Seems that was. Like I that think that was been it.
It ended up being something different, which was more isekai comedy, but it was something I was looking for so bad, which technically, again, another one that's kind of slightly in that genre. So that is my biggest draw to the cute girls doing cute things. It's just a show that when I come into a season or when I come into it, it's not really expectations for it. It is that when it's on, I'm happy. And I smile. I enjoy watching them have fun. Again, even though they're not going for like some big epic journey, they're not in big action scenes. They're not, you know, heavy drama. They're not going through crazy stuff. There's no romance. It's just literally... they're existing in their whatever they're doing. They're cute. They're smiling. They're having fun. Yeah, every now and then you might cry like with Doribouchi, but or Nonambiori with Renge. But it is a type of genre that I think excels at positivity.
Yeah,
and there's not really many other shows or any other type of show, or again, if you want to call it a genre, another genre that would do this, in my opinion. It's with everything else, action, there's violence, there's loss. With romance, there's heartbreak and there's drama, heavy drama.
Yeah.
With you know, all these other genres, there's going to horror. Just don't even ask. Everything else seems to be kind of drawn. The draw to everything else is going to be drama, yeah. Loss, heaviness, emotion. Whereas Cute Girls Doing Cute Things is strictly, again, unless there's like some kind of little side plots that kind of gets a little heavy, for the most part, it's going for, hi, you want to smile? Here's episode one. Are you smiling yet? Episode two. Still smiling? That's the whole concept of yeah. It.
There's I mean, is the Order of Rabbit. The ending theme song goes through, and then they play Paper, Rock, Scissors with you. I mean,
yeah, second
that's,
season.
That's what they want, is they want you to be happy. That's the entire point of it.
And that was like the kind of interesting thing when I was getting into the whole concept of what constituted an actual cute girl doing cute things, because it's not necessarily going to be about it being a lot of them similar to, I think cute girls doing cute things, when I'm tripping over that, is kind of similar to Slice of Life. Because when we were talking about Slice of Life, it was like Slice of Life technically is paired up with so many genres. It's never just Slice of Life. But you can kind of sometimes say that Slice of Life is the heavier element, but sometimes it's just, no, that's a drama. No, that's a comedy. No, that's an action show. It's never, but Slice of Life can technically be used in many shows. And I think Cute Girls Doing Cute Things can also kind of be used in multiple shows, but not necessarily as its strength. And like I said, my more focus was trying to get into shows that were more, that's its heavy suit. Like, yeah, you can have chuckles in it. Yeah, you can have, you know, a point of drama. But if they're not heavy enough, I think that's when it really is truly labeled as being such. Agree, disagree?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is one of those things that it's hard to actually think of a show that I would just label straight cute girls doing cute things without something else. That's what we're going to get
into. Okay. That's what we're going to do. So I went through my anime list, and I tried to find any of the shows that I have watched or even started watching in the past that I would consider to be a cute girls doing cute things. And the earliest one that I could possibly even give it a label to was Lucky Star. And even then, I think that's just literally a comedy. I don't even know that I would even label that as being cute girls doing cute things. You could argue it, though. But I think with any of the shows before Lucky Stars, that's kind of similar to Lucky Stars, you can probably label it as such. It's just a show that maybe has cute girls, but they're typically always magical girl, or it's you know, going to go more into heavy comedy shows. It's very rarely the focus is that these are cute girls doing cute things.
So are you saying Lucky Star is the beginning of the cute girls doing cute things?
No, because I think Lucky Star is a comedy.
I don't know. They are kind of cute girls.
But that's the argument. Like I said, that was kind of something I was trying to paint earlier. Like Girls in Panzer. Technically, many people would claim that as being a cute girls doing cute things. It's technically a club show.
Lucky Star is before Sora no Woto?
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
By a few years.
Because I thought that was one of the oldest ones.
Manami Kei was a, again, I think that was more family drama comedy, very heavy comedy show. But again, it has cute characters. So that is another one that kind of came out shortly after Lucky Star. K-On, again, is going to be the big stipulation point, because I think a lot of people, if you ask them, is it cute girls doing cute things, they're going to say yeah. But again, I think I would label that more in the club show area, because that was at the edge of that entire thing.
Even at that, cute girls doing cute things hadn't been a thing yet. So
right.
Even with Lucky Star, I mean, I Lucky Star to me is the antithesis next to K-On. Between the two, I'd be hard pressed to figure out which one I think is. I would probably lean towards K-On, mostly because I think it's just more cutesy than Lucky Star. But
yeah, because Lucky Star was very skit based. Like it was.
Yeah,
just,
it is.
Here's a skit. Here's a joke. Here's a joke. Here's a joke.
The funny thing is that what is the cute girls doing in Lucky Star? They're doing cute things. So I mean. yeah, they have a comedy bend. I mean, I'm having a hard time remembering Manami K. I know that I've watched it.
It was three sisters. That was the very young one, the very dorky ditz middle sister, and then the very like big sister character as being the older one. I don't know that you watched it. I know I watched pretty much all of it. I'm not sure if we ever watched it together.
But out of the two of them, I mean,
I missed it, by the way. I wish somebody would release them all. They disappeared at some point.
But yeah, I lean towards K-On! As being just the cute girls doing cute things, because it's not really focused so much on the comedy aspect so much as just living life and just how goofy life is in general. Whereas technically Lucky Star is actually trying to be funny, and in the aspect of doing that, of course they are being cute while they're being funny.
And I think that's the important distinction to draw, is that I guess technically earlier I'm kind of trying to peg it more on the idea that something that I would classify cute girl doing cute thing has to be primarily just that and not have anything else, which I technically, I guess, doesn't make really much sense. So I would peg more on the idea that it's probably going to be more something like K-On! Would probably be one of the earliest ones, in my opinion. But again, like you said, don't necessarily think it was a thing at the time. Because again, K-On! I think was at the edge of the club show craze. And so most people would see it just, oh, it's another club show. Even though most of the time they're not even doing club activities. It's just like an excuse to get them together and have tea and eat cake and look cute.
Right.
So it technically does, it does, you know, have all of what takes to be that. Because as you're watching it, you're going, all they're doing is sitting around and eating cake and going, oh, that's so good, or that's so delicious, and then peaching each other's cheeks and putting cat ears on one of the girls and embarrassing her. I mean, it wasn't really nothing else outside of that. It was their bonds. It was their time together. They're being happy and enjoying their school days. So, yeah, I guess I would probably say K-On! Would probably be my opinion. Because even with Manami K, that was a show that was, again, more about just absolute dorky comedy. And it had a huge mix of cast that was constantly being thrown in there. It wasn't just the three sisters. It was an entire group of characters that were kind of all mingled together. So, yeah. I think Sora no Woto was probably another one that was a really strong one. But again, that one actually had a story to go along with it. It had a long going story throughout the entire thing. It was her learning about what she does at the post that they were put at. It was her learning the bugle. It was, you know, their post, the village nearby, the people in the village. That was a lot of story that was kind of built in there. It wasn't just so kind of dumb, not really to say it negatively, but dumbed down to the idea of just being them having cute, being cute and having fun time, which they did a lot of episodes. Probably a good half of the episodes, maybe three quarters of the episodes, was just dorky shenanigans, but it did have more.
It's funny because I was debating that one in my head, and it was slightly losing on the, is this a cute girl doing cute things? Because the story is just a little bit too strong in that.
They had some heavy episodes, like when they had the captive soldier and stuff. It got really heavy. So, but it kind of has that similar thing to something like Girls on Panzer, where it was like, here's cute girls doing cute things. Here's object for them to focus on. And that's typically the type of formula that you get with a lot of these shows. Strike Witch's next one is a huge example of that one. That was a show where you have, here's cute girls doing cute things, insert object, which is flying with rocket boots through the air with guns. That was that concept. But again, I think with Strike Witch is a huge majority of that. And yeah, a lot of the episodes was just really shenanigans at the base. But you did have, for the majority of them, it was kind of the Gundam concept, where 75% shenanigans, 25% attack monster.
Yeah.
Every episode had, get your boots on, go out and fight. Get your boots on, go out and fight. So it did have the concept in there that was kind of pulling away from, let's just have fun, to more, okay, every now and then the world's going to end. There's direness at hand, even though that direness has constant butt shots as they're flying through the air. Nishijo, not really necessarily, because it really is going for more chibi art style, and there's a very vast cast.
Yeah, to me, I would put that almost in the same category as Lucky Star. I mean, you're in the same realm, because Nishijo is very skip-based as well, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, very. I still think they are still technically cute girls doing cute things, which is being funny, and you're going there to be lightened in some way, shape, or form. So,
yeah.
Take that for what it is.
And then Girls and Panzer came out in 2012. And I think... no, I don't think it's still yet. But yeah, Girls on Panzer was a huge hit as well. And I think I would argue that Girls on Panzer was a huge thing that
I
probably
that
brought
that,
focus to the idea.
I think that between that and Strike Witches, those are if you want to call it a starting of this
gateway
genre. Yeah.
It was a gateway because it was kind of dressed as something else. Like, you had a central focus in there. But they're still cute, and you want to see them have fun.
Yeah, and that's one of the kicks of Girls and Panzer is that it's they stripped away all of the bad things. I mean, Strike Witches didn't quite do it. I think that's kind of a twist on the magical girl genre per se. If you want to call it that,
they were magical girls.
They are technically magical girls. They've got the transformation and everything. So, I mean, it's not like it can't be. But Girls in Panzer is... You're going there for the tanks, per se, I guess. I mean, a lot of us would probably be going for the cute girls, but...
You came for the tanks, you stay for the gear.
But what it comes down to it is they strip away all of the quote unquote danger factor of the tank battles.
Even though it got really crazy, especially towards the movies, where they're suddenly being like shot down the street in these metal tanks and not getting hurt. Like, these shells hit them so hard they fly down the street.
I get a kick out of how they flip over and the little flag pops up.
Even if they're upside down, the flag has to come up.
But it is. It's one of those shows that when you watch it, you it shouldn't work in any way, shape, or form. And when you watch it, you go, this is actually kind of cool and it's fun. And these girls are having a blast while they're having their fun doing this. And you're just all in for it. And so I would literally say, I'm almost going to say that Girls in Panzer would be quote unquote the first girl cute girls doing cute things. I mean, even more than Strike Witches. Strike Witches
you
had too much heavy.
I think Kion was it's still gonna be
I
mine.
Think that it was still it, I don't think it had really become a thing Girls in Panzer.
No, I think the point in which it became a thing is probably way later.
You think
again,
so?
I think Kion
okay.
I think Kion and Girls in Panzer are still at the edge of that club show era.
No, I can see that. I this is just a weird club, so yeah, I want to say I'm just throwing it out there is if anything between Strike Witches and Girls in Panzer, I think that they realized that they had moneymakers here.
Oh yeah.
K-On! May have done it, but I don't think that they realized the money potential until either Strike Witches or Girls in Panzer, because I know Strike Witches was absolutely monetized to death. And
yeah,
Girls in Panzer...
Heavy emphasis on figures and collectibles that were coming out of that. I mean, I even had a period of time where I was going... The figures they were making for them, there was like a whole lineup of them where you could buy like literally every single one of the girls as one of these figures, and they had them on their with their boots on and they're in great pose with the guns. They were amazing figures, and there was so many of them. I had them in like I think it was an Amazon wish list, and I was like looking, and they were expensive as all get, but I was like really tempted to get them all because that was the huge thing at the time, was that they were selling that like crazy, which is unfortunate that it kind of seemed like it disappeared at this point. It's coming back after that really terrible short that they did. But no, because technically with K-On! Launching back in 2009, and that continued with a second season and then a movie, that was going all the way into when Girls on Panzer was becoming big. And then Girls on Panzer went for multiple seasons. And that eventually went into making movies as well. So it's not to say that these, you know, were secluded in 2000. You know, K-On! Started in 2009. That doesn't mean it was secluded there. It was continuing out through the years. Mm-hmm. And Girls on Panzer, starting in 2012, continued throughout the years until it got to the point where, you know, like, I would probably argue late 2015, 2016 is where you did see that big boom in all of the, again, heavy focus, cute girls doing cute things type shows were really starting to go out, you know, start really getting crazy. Again, it started before then, but that's where it seemed like everybody, it almost feels like that's when all the, you know, the studios and everybody was getting their plans together. And that's when they finally launched their attack was at that point. But they were easily back there with K-On! And Girls on Panzer. That's where they were going, we got to capitalize on this. People are buying this stuff like crazy. They're buying Girls on Panzer stuff. They're buying K-On! Stuff. They're buying Strike Witches stuff. Let's get our stuff together and, you know, get in on this. You know, Love Live's hitting in 2013 and everything else is kind of launching after that point. So, yeah. Interesting time, though. But yeah, Girls on Panzer was a lot of fun. Definitely a good one there. Encouragement to Climb, I was surprised how far back that started.
Yeah.
2012. And I guess that makes sense because that was about the time where we really started kind of focusing on this stuff, and Encouragement to Climb was one of those shows.
Yeah, Encouragement to Climb, I remember absolutely adoring Kira no Mosaic. I mean, this is literally, I'm looking at show by show things every season that I've loved. I mean,
yeah, Kira no Mosaic, I didn't watch that one. Again, that was like at the period
the dancers,
time where
wasn't it?
Kira no Mosaic? No, that was the Japanese Girls Are Scary.
Oh.
Japanese Girls Are Crazy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I got you.
One Girl.
Gotcha. That was the girl from Britain coming to
Japan. No, you're thinking of
Japan.
Hanayamata? Was it Hanayamata?
Yeah.
Was it Hayayamata or Hanayamata? Mata. Hanayamata or Hanayamata was the fan dancing girls.
Adored that show. I don't know that they were fan. Well, maybe they were.
Yeah, they had the dancers. Or the,
they were dancers.
Was it the with the fans or was it with the clappy clap things? I don't even know what that instrument is. It makes it click clack thing.
I don't remember fans. But I do know they were dancing. But hey, they may have had fans. I just remember the crazy Genki girl that really
Yosukoi
turned you off.
Yosukoi Club. Yosukoi.
Who would jump up two floors and drove Andrew crazy.
That was like back when I had no patience for shows. I'm like, I'm done. Did you see that, Chris? I'm done. And you're like, I don't care. You just jumped to the second story window. What the hell? It can't be possible. Genki powers activate, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, Nanon Biori 2013 was, I think, probably the first time we had a cute girls doing cute things where there wasn't a focus. And that was, again, I'm going back to our previous discussion where there's certain shows that it seemed like we had to create this concept because there was no heavy thing there. And yeah, you can probably argue Slice of Life is not on Biori, and I would definitely agree. I think Slice of Life is a heavy point of that entire thing, but it was heavily kind of drawn this idea that there's these cute girls and they're just, they're there. And it was a whole concept of Nanon Biori because they're out in the sticks and there's literally nothing there. And they're just finding their own enjoyment in the mundane. And that was a huge draw to it. So, and Love Live, which again is more probably classified as an idol show. But again, a lot of idol shows, especially since Love Live, its focus is cute girls doing cute things. So.
I suppose I would have a harder time with Wake Up Girls though. That one I would have a hard time with being cute girls doing cute things, but
especially the second season because you didn't get to see it much. you were mostly looking at windows outside.
Don't stop reminding me of the Bane. I'm still mad about that.
Oh dear goodness!
Shoot, no, Show by Rock, absolutely.
You're gonna skip some Bugaboo. I thought you liked Sabaga Boo.
I do. I did like it.
Was it airsoft guns? Was it airsoft guns or paintball guns? Or I think it was airsoft. Yeah,
airsoft.
Sabaga Boo. I didn't watch it, as you can tell.
Or am I thinking of C3?
It's the same one, wasn't it?
Sabaga Boo it seems like that one was the comedy one, which I don't know that. C3, I would. I think that C3 was the cute girls doing airsoft guns.
It's a survival game club with Sabaga Boo.
Look up C3.
Cube Curse Curious? No, that is not it. Was it C3? Was it something else? I know what you're talking about.
It's like Command Control and something.
No, you're getting weird stuff. Is it C4, was it?
No, it was not C4. It was C3. I just can't remember. There was something behind it. Try C3 Club or something like
Stella.
That.
Stella.
Stella. There it goes.
Yeah, that's right. My gosh.
Everybody has been screaming at us for the last 5 minutes.
C3 Boo is what you had to put. Because it's cube. It's not necessarily C number 3. C cube.
But yeah, that one I think I would call a cute girls doing cute
did
things
I
more.
Did that one?
No, I don't think you did.
I know I started watching it. One episode. Nice. One episode.
But yeah, I would classify this more as cute girls doing cute things more than the Sabaga Boo. Sabaga Boo is more playing on the jokes involved in it, and either way, I think that one was cute girls doing cute things as well. I mean, especially more than the third one. The third one was really heavy jokes.
Show by Rock. Definitely cute girls doing cute things. They're dancing. They're killing monsters while we're looking cute. But it's like, again, it's kind of like similar to K-On! Where most of the time it's just them just existing and being adorable. So, seeing Retori Tsundere every 2 seconds and everything.
Absolutely. That is just an adorable show.
Well, Kamba Girl, that one's definitely heavy. It is technically more focused on comedy. But again, that was probably one of the earliest ones where I'm like, this needs to be labeled as something. Like I said, I think that's about the point where that concept... And I really do think Is There a Rabbit is still the point in which that label can be creative out of. But I know that it was probably a thing way back in something as early as Wakaba Girl. So,
yeah, Wakaba Girl was definitely a moment of them shifting. I would definitely say that. Where
that was one of the earliest Dokakubos, right?
I'm going to say yes, it was.
Am I thinking Three Leaves Through Colors?
No, Three Leaves was later.
No, I'm saying, yeah, because this is Studio Nexus, is Wakaba Girl. I think Three Leaves was...
That was Dokakubo. I gotcha.
Sansa Sanyo. Yeah, Dokakubo. I need to have an episode on Dokakubo, which I guess technically we're doing now because half their shows are going to be in this list.
Wow. The Tanuki Girls. I didn't know that they were... Well, they're not technically Tanuki Girls.
Tanuki Girls.
The girl that was dancing in front of the...
Oh, Engaged and Unidentified.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would be the earliest show that I knew them from? My Serial for Yourself, I guess. There's a lot of... This is like one of those things where you go, wait, they've been around this long? Did I not recognize them at that point?
Oh, Yuri gosh. Yuri.
Yeah, Myself Yourself is probably going to be the earliest one for me. GJ Boo.
Yeah, I did technically watch
Love
that
Lab.
One. I wouldn't
Lovely
call that
Muko.
One. Hey, Lovely Muko is fun.
Zaki-kun was probably easily their biggest hit. As much as everybody's trying to now rewrite history and say that it was a terrible show back then. So that happens with popular shows.
Which one?
Nozaki-kun. Suddenly everybody's trying to make out this. It's a stupid show.
Is it? I mean, really?
Yeah. It never was a good show. Gotta get rid of that one now. I don't know. It's weird. Seiyuu Life. That was cute girls doing Seiyuu. I don't know. Seiyuu Life is so focused on the industry, it's hard to say that would be in this category. It's just, it's so very little cute girls. I mean, again, you can technically argue that any show that has a bunch of girls in it can be labeled as a cute girls doing cute things because, like I said, this, by definition of the concept of the name, it's cute girls doing object, but it's just not too much focus on that kind of cuteness or adorableness or whatever that would require for it. So even with School Live, again, it starts really heavy.
I'm going to have to push back on that one a little bit.
With School Live, it's kind of like one of those things where the first episode, no. The last, I don't know, three episodes, no. But everything in between is literally just cute girls doing cute things. So it's hard to argue one way or the other. That was the whole thing people hated about the show, was that it was like, yeah, that first episode was amazing. And then it turned into just Moe doing nothing and then until the very end. And it's like, oh, it's cool again. So there's that argument for that one. Izzy Art Rabbit, we've already talked about that one. Again, like I said, I think that's technically the first point in which you had no real other label besides cute girls doing cute things. Mm-hmm. And so I, too, want to give Isadora Rabbit that label. You can probably argue it's, you know, essentially slice of life, work life, but it really wasn't that heavy on that stuff. It was, like, literally a bunch of girls in a cafe, rarely customers there.
I was going to say, I don't think I ever seen a customer
blushing
in that
and
place.
Stuff. Yeah, it nothing else was really there. And even when they did go to the other girls' cafe, I forget what the other rabbit cafe was, but there they actually had customers.
I think she had cookies.
Cookies?
Cookies.
Cookies.
They had cookies.
It's still a cafe. You're saying that cookies is the reason why they had people coming.
No, they had the coffee shop, they had the cookie shop or something like that. Seems sure? like it was cookies, or it could have been crepes. Who knows?
No, it was tea. No, that was the other girl. I was thinking of the girl that the one that I really liked, the yellow haired one, because the one that had tea was the longer hair girl, wasn't it? Oh man, we need another season of that already. It's been so dang long. I forget all the characters' names.
Cocoa.
Yeah, they all had kind of different names for Chino, Cocoa, Rize. Rize was my favorite. Shadow. Yeah, Shadow. I thought they were more like a sweet
I thought
shop.
She had a... Well, maybe she does have it.
Works at Herbal Tea Cafe. Yeah, I thought it was the other girl that had that. Maybe I'm...
No, she
I'm
owned
totally
it.
Thinking of
she
another
owned
show.
It, and she worked for her.
I'm totally thinking of another show. Chia. I thought she had another place that...
Yeah, Chia was the she one had the tea this, shop. Okay. She had the tea shop, and the other girl worked for her, just like Cocoa worked for...
She had her own one.
Cocoa worked for...
Japanese sweets and her family cafe. She had her own... This is the one I was thinking of. She had the sweets. Jewelry and Snowy Field was her place. And then Shadow worked at the one that was Herbal Tea. Herbal Tea Cafe. Doesn't say what the name of that one was. And then Chino, of course, was the Rabbit House cafe. With Tippy. Her grandfather. I miss that show. They didn't have another season coming up. They probably got delayed due to COVID.
I don't know if there's a third season. I would hope, but we've already had two seasons.
No, I'm saying it's supposed to be a third season coming up. Was it Bloom? Yeah.
Yeah, it seems
Bloom,
like
October.
Remember.
Soon we will get another season. We gotta watch. There's a movie. We gotta watch the movie. Which was that one? Dear My Sister, or is it an OVA? No, that's a movie. 59 minutes long. Anyways, totally getting sidetracked. Annie Tori.
Can't tell we like our Is the Order of Rabbit, huh?
Annie Tori with the cute girls doing exercises. There's no better way to get people fit than to actually show them how to exercise with cute girls. Which was preceded by Annie Tori XX, right? Was the second one?
No, I thought that was the second season.
That's what I'm saying. It was preceded by... Isn't it preceded after?
No.
Was preceded before?
Preceded is before.
Was followed by, I don't know.
Followed by, yes.
Followed by. And Happy.
I love that show.
There you go.
Even with Timotei.
Timotei, that was the only thing I enjoyed about it. It's like, Chris is like, I really liked it, even though it had this. And I'm going, I hate the show before the fact of that. Because I don't know why it made me laugh. Even though I hated it.
Well, that one was... It almost felt like a club show. It was really kind of school life, if you want to say that. But it was just about the girl who had just yeah, the class horrible
they were
life.
In was yeah the class they were in was like putting
the misfits.
These girls through crazy stuff.
Well, I so would say the misfits,
kind of like Battle Royale without the death. Like, you're all these, you all have weird things. We're going to make you do a bunch of weird, crazy stuff involving equipment and science and technology that would cost billions of dollars.
No, they all had bad luck. That's right. It just was different types of bad luck.
That's right.
And that's she right. just so happened, and Happy just so happened to be the one that had the worst luck. And
yeah, one girl was like, she gets lost all the time. There was one that had bad luck with animals.
Yeah, bad luck with animals.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Chris loved it. Three of these three colors. And three of these three colors is another one where, kind of like Kizzy or Rabbit, I think its genre is cute girls doing cute things. Again, you could argue it. It technically has laughs in it and stuff. But I think for the most part, it's like literally every scene is not necessarily you're laughing out loud. You're not going for some heavy drama beats or storyline plot points. It's just you're existing with the characters and they're having fun.
I know why Anne Happy works for me, because of the underdog.
Yeah, you know, I think you mentioned that in the review of it. So, new game, definitely again going comedy, video game making with cute girls doing cute things. But yeah, I think it definitely does get the label of being cute girls doing cute things.
Yeah, just there was the gaming side of things where they would poke fun at development of games and. That kind of was the draw to that.
Yeah. Magic Stella is kind of a similar concept. It's just in school instead. They're making video games in a club with cute girls. And I think with Magic Stella, it has so much other focus that kind of gets pushed away from being, you know, needing to be labeled cute girls doing cute things. But it is, again, in that same concept. Scorching Ping Pong Girls. Chris, take it away. Cassandra... Did I finish that one?
No, I think you finished it, but I think you hated it.
I think I've struggled through it.
And the only real trick to that one is it is cute girls doing cute things. It's just that it was ping pong was their thing. And it just was goofy. They got over the top in a lot of cases. And
I think that one does get really heavy, though, because a lot of the characters, especially the main Tsundere character, just always kind of combative. But... that one kind of heavily relies on you liking the main character, I want to say, because it does kind of fit the concept of a cute girls doing cute thing, which is to kind of make you happy and enjoying. But a lot of that kind of relies on you focusing on the main character, because that was her whole thing, was that she just wanted to have fun. She enjoyed things. The only thing that makes me struggle with Scorching Ping Pong Girls being classified as a cute girls doing cute thing is because of the fact that it's so... So many of the scenes is so heavy drama and and I think a lot of it has to do with the main rival girl at the very beginning.
Agari.
She was so down and so upset and so angry and angsty throughout the entire first quarter of it, and then it goes into a championship thing where that's kind of a heavy focus of it. So it doesn't feel so happy all the time.
I would agree that it would probably be pushed more towards the club show side.
Drama.
But it probably wouldn't work so much as a club show, mostly because it's just too... But then again, a lot of the sports are just way over the top half the time anyway. So, and that's really what this is it's... If you want to, I know that because I have not watched the show but I do know of these jokes about it of Kuroko no Basuke, where people are doing these over the top, really crazy,
basketball,
and that's the way I look at this.
Tornadoes,
it's just so over the top. I mean, one girl is doing these.
She was making tornadoes on
making tornadoes literally on the top of the table. So
I was like, I'm done. I'll finish it, but I'm done.
And that, so it's one of those things where it's like, I don't really care. It's I'm having fun. The girls are having fun, and it's goofy. Who cares if they really are doing anything worth anything?
Yeah, that was my problem though with because if I watched Girls on Panzer, it was a very competitive show for segments of the entire series where you have them going up against other classes. And they had that kind of concept of either being mischievous, trying to yeah, maybe cheat to win, or you have that sense that the characters want to, you know, trick the other team in order to win. But it always had this kind of sense of fun. It had always had the, you know, the upbeat music, the very goofy characters inside the tanks. And even if they got shot or whatever, they were still kind of a little bit goofy about it. There was no heavy tension or heavy drama around the competition. And then when one side won, it was always kind of like afterwards, it was always like a, you know, show them what you got. You better, you know, go. They're rooting for them because the idea is that if you beat me, you better beat everybody else, because that makes me kind of look bad if you can't beat everybody else. You carry the torch, mm-hmm. so to speak. And I didn't really feel like that with Ping Pong, Scorching Ping Pong Girls. It just felt very heavy, I guess. But I think everybody gets different things from certain shows. So, Long Riders, again, kind of going back to our concept of a company trying to sell something on cute girls. And that was definitely with biking and stuff. So wasn't really the most ingenious show. The same way with Minami Kamakura High School Girl Cycling Club. It's the same concept, just kind of just strictly cute girls. And was the same with Bakuan. I don't think I put on the list. That was a motorcycle version of the same concept.
Yeah, that was the one that I was thinking of. One of them was a motorcycling club, and I know that Honda had something to do with that one.
Was it Honda?
I almost remember.
I remember one of the girls had an awesome figure with one of the bikes. So, but yeah, I remember somebody was like, they constantly were talking about their stupid bikes, and it was like, please just be cute and have fun. Please stop telling me about this stupid Suzuki.
Suzuki, I remember a Suzuki. Wasn't there a battle between the like two or three of the girls over which company was
each
better?
Each one of them had their own kind of bike, so Ren was great though. Ren had I was badly wanting the figure that they made for Ren. Yeah, this one. And this one kind of
Could totally see that.
It was for Bakuan, for Ren, the character in it, she was on, I don't know if she was on another magazine or if it was just the manga cover that got really popular, but they actually released a figure of her on that bike prior to the actual release of the show.
Can anybody, if you have not watched this show, can you not guess what is her thing? She's Twin Tails, and you know that is the main reason mm-hmm. why she is, and she does. She looks absolutely gorgeous in almost every figure that I'm looking at, but I'm only looking at an angle, but yeah.
Certain angle.
Well.
But yeah, that was, here's Shizuka. That was her whole thing, so. And I'm curious if it actually sold motorcycles. That's like the big question. It's like, yeah, I understand like when a show has, Gunpla or whatever with Gundam or, but when you have a show that's like seemingly a advertisement to motorcycles, and I don't know if exactly, because again, it was a manga at first, I believe. And so making that into an anime, of course, they're trying to sell other things. Was there any kind of, I'm curious if there was a joining with, you know, Suzuki and stuff to get that sold. And if it did see a kind of sale in bikes, or if it's just literally figures and other things. Anyways,
I don't know. There's a level of when it comes to sales that you want a return on it, but it's more just to get the kind of the earwig in your ear more than anything, so that's the first thing you think of, not necessarily.
One of these days I want to buy a bike and I want to remember Ren.
Yeah, get a Suzuki. it's more along the lines of when you do make the decision, that's the first thing you think of.
Yeah, I mean, that's like commercials. It's not like you're always thinking, man, I really want to go get a Pepsi now. No, it's literally when you do think about, I want to get a Pepsi, you think of the girl saying a Pepsi please commercial.
No, that was like 20 years ago. I'm going to get a soda. First thing that comes to your mind is Pepsi. It's.
Yeah. Here, I understand what you're saying. Interview with Monster Girls. I'm surprised that's I guess they're technically getting pretty close to current time, but it feels like it's been forever ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, a bunch of Monster Girls in a school, and the teacher that kind of helps them through their situations. Very, very cutesy show. Not really cutesy, more moe. I think that one kind of borders the line of moe. So it is kind of in that that area where it just kind of starts slowly creeping over that line. So, but it was an adorable show, and I really did enjoy it. I'm surprised that one never got a second season. And I felt like that show was so huge that it would have multiple seasons. It needs more. Nyanko Days. Just a girl with her cute little cat girl cats. definitely. I guess, can you call that cute girls doing cute things? Or is it cute cats doing cute things? They are technically Neko characters. Like Neko Mimi characters. They weren't actual cats.
So, cat girls doing cute things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's like, you know, like, what was it? Neko Days? Show with the cat girls, and the guy gets transported to the cat girl world, and they were all, like, fighting disputes with games.
Oh,
I have one of my Nindroids is several of them.
Gadgummit.
Neko Days? No, Neko Days.
It's not Neko Days.
Dog Days.
Dog Days. There it is. For Pete's sake.
We're stuck on the Neko thing. It's not even the same species. Yeah. Cute cat girls doing cute things, I guess. I mean, there was girls in the show, too, so the owners.
I guess I wasn't too far off when I went with Dagobo Days.
Dagobo Days?
I was like, no, that's not it. It technically was, if you take off the bow.
Gabriel Dropout. I don't know. Gabriel Dropout. That's a hard one. Again, very focused on comedy. They're technically cute girls, but
didn't they do more slapstick, though?
Does that make it to where you can't do cute girls doing cute things, being slapstick?
No, technically not, but
I don't know. It just doesn't feel like a cute girl's doing cute. And maybe that might be my bias because I didn't really enjoy it too much. I don't know. I'm gonna hold my judgment on that one. Kimono Friends. I don't know. It is technically most. I think pretty much every single one of the characters was a female character. You can make an argument that it wasn't the best looking show ever, so that might be a hard thing to label as cute girl doing cute things because it wasn't cute looking. One Room, not really. There's only like one character per segment of episodes, so you can't really get the plural cute girls in there unless you label the entire series. Hinako Note, like I mentioned earlier, I technically would put that in the category as well. Hinako Note, it was funny because I was making the list and I seen Hinako Note. And I'm like, I don't remember what the show was. And I clicked on it and I was like, oh my gosh, I've seen it. Remember, I love this show and I completely forgot it existed. So I was so happy I'd seen it and I clicked on it and added it to the list because it was one of those shows where it's similar to. It was similar to my love of things like Three Leaves, Three Colors and the like, where it didn't really technically do anything fantastic, but it existing as just cute girls having fun and doing things was its draw. And I seem to remember that I didn't like it at the very beginning because it was like this girl that was like a bumpkin and she came into to Tokyo or whatever, I think it was Tokyo, and joined a university to the theater club just so that she can fight her fears of, you know, being in public.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think I was afraid of it because I think I was fresh off of Unhappy. And so I was like, I don't really want another Unhappy show where like, cause she had the same concept where like her whole thing was her fear and it kept going into it and into it. But it actually turned into like something really fun, and I think a lot of it has to do with just like when they started doing the maid cafe and stuff like that. It was really fun. So glad that I remember that one. That was a good one.
Well, the funny thing is the reason why, because you brought it up again,
you don't have to defend Unhappy.
She really did work for me mostly because of how much she would constantly just plow through whatever it was that was bothering her. So. If the entire world was upside down, she was still happy and she kept moving forward. And that's one of the main reasons.
It's okay, Chris. It's
okay. I love my Unhappy.
I think I cracked the joke. I was unhappy about Unhappy. Chris was not. See, Angel 3P. There's another one of those ones where we go into the realm. And it's so funny because I meant to get into this with it earlier and I totally forgot. And this is a perfect example of that. And I think with Izzy or Rabbit was another example of that. Is one of the difficulties that we have in kind of defending that we like something that its whole purpose is just cute girls is the stigma around the idea of, well, it's probably sexualized. And there's always those shows where you just, you love it to death. And we always had this issue when we're doing reviews for them. It's like, these characters were so adorable. But there's this one thing that makes it difficult to suggest. You have to be okay with them kind of having certain very questionable scenes. And Angel 3P was one of them. It's like, why are we doing this scene? I can't suggest this to anybody now. Like, not that I wanted this scene in it, but now that this scene exists, I can't. Like, I can't. There's only going to be certain people that are going to be okay with this. And that was Angel 3P. That is definitely one of those ones.
Don't understand. There's this really great show. They are about adorable. Three girls. They're just so adorable.
They're adorable.
And they're making a band, and they're bringing everybody in to go and play their band.
They were trying to save the church because they were orphans, and the church was taking care of them. And it's so adorable, and you're like so happy about it. And then there's that bathroom scene. Okay, can't. I don't even know if I want to review this now because then they're going to know that I watched this show.
Well, even if you go the other route of how do you even explain it? Go and watch this show, and then they watch it. And they're, by the way, there was this one scene.
Why the hell did you make me watch that? I got that. It was like literally like the second episode. And it's like, just skip that episode. It's okay. But it was funny because, like, even with Angel 3P, I think I mentioned in the review that it's like they had this cool idea of, like, these girls honestly just want to bring people to this church because the church is going to get closed. And it was like it felt very earnest. It felt very true. Like, this is something they want to protect. And then they had a really cute little romance in there at some point. And it was like, I really like these characters, but I can't suggest the show to anybody. Thank you. Kind of hard to Katana.
I started
a
up
times.
Angel 3P, FBI-chan broke down my door, not real sure what happened there.
Well, the sirens went off, and it all went blank after that. Kanahana Katan was a great one as well.
It was a joke. It wasn't that bad.
It kind of.
No FBI-chan in Angel 3P. It was a joke.
Not in that one, no. It's just outside your door. Just got to make sure nobody walks in at the wrong time. That's the key thing we're taking
from
this
misunderstandings.
One.
It's more of anything.
Yeah. In the realm of cute fox girls doing cute things, you have Konohana Katan. Really enjoyed that one. They even had a saber version of a Kitsune character. So
that one was an adorable show.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the main girl, Yuzu. She was absolutely adorable. I also think Ren was great as well. She was very kind of tsundere character
just two pure girls.
And I think a lot of that one has to do with the stories that go along with it as well. They had some really solid little stories. So yeah, Kitsune girls doing cute things. Blend S, really great as well. And I think that one has a high factor in it just being kind of cute girls in a cafe. I know Chris really enjoyed that one with the sadistic girl. Mm-hmm. Even though we technically did have...
She wasn't technically sadistic. They made her sadistic.
Technically, we had a cute boy in it, though.
Well, yes, there was technically a slight budding relationship building. It was an adorable show. I loved it.
But I don't know. There begs the question, Chris. We have to be critical here. Can you call a show that has a good half of it has men in the scenes and mostly talking? Can you classify
that
as a cute girl?
Can guys be talking
and
a cute girl's doing cute things? This is a good question.
Can there be existence of boys in a cute girl's doing cute things?
Well, we do know that
I think
there
everything
is some,
that we've
because
talked
like,
about earlier.
No.
Well, Angel 3P had a guy in it as well. So yeah. We might have to nix that one out as well. Interview with Monster Girls had a guy in it.
Okay, I'm gonna throw you for a loop. there is a guy in Is the Order Rabbit.
Not really a guy.
The grandpa.
He was a cat.
No. That is aside from the grandpa of your favorite character.
Was he ever there, though? Yes. I thought he was just a phone character.
Might have been a phone character. There might have been a scene where she was talking about.
Yeah, I think she was doing running. A flashback. I think she was doing a flashback. I don't know if you can classify flashbacks as a part of that.
I don't know. You're cheating. You're trying to get around the rule. If you're going to make the rule, it's got to go across the board.
All these shows are going to have some scene in it where some girl thinks of there like is, her childhood where her dad helped her. There is guys in Golden
Panzer.
Yeah, they were on the side yelling about their shops getting destroyed, which was a good thing. No,
they were not yelling about it. They were excited.
They were yelling. Theirs didn't get hit.
That's true, too.
They wanted to remodel their shops. Yeah, I think it really does kind of. I want to put a stipulation that if you have a certain percentage of it has guys in it, that makes it dangerous. So I don't know. We might have to. I think on that one.
No, as far as Blend S, it is absolutely adorable show, and the guys don't really take from it. It's just
they're a good addition.
I think so, especially to have the kind of cutesy thing going on with the story itself, and then having the cutesy budding relationship at the same time. It's just they blended well together.
Layback camp again. We kind of mentioned that earlier. We kind of hit on that one pretty heavy. Just kind of cute girls doing camping, and that was a strong bit of it. I mean, like I said, you technically do have it being pretty much an advertisement for, you know, different locations and having a huge focus on the idea of camping and enjoying going out to places and information on how to camp and all that kind of stuff was an added bonus to it. Mitsubishi Colors.
Is that our Park Girls?
Yes.
Yay.
This one is so funny because I think I mentioned when we were talking about that particular show, we had in my mind, I was thinking about how similar it was to something like Strawberry Marshmallow. Is that the name of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Where Strawberry Marshmallow had that Angel 3P thing where you're kind of like, I want to suggest this, but there's all these kind of sexual jokes and kind of that element of an older sister exploiting the innocence of these little girls that have no clue what she's talking about, and you're like, that kind of makes it inappropriate. Mitsubishi Colors really kept it pure, and it was just golden. Just these cute girls just having fun and going on adventures. Pretty much the middle of city.
Yeah, and they will get everybody. The zombie thing was absolutely too much fun, and they just have a blast, and this is literally the encapsulation of everything perfect about cute girls doing cute things. It's just they just go out and do what they want to do, and it's just too much fun.
Yeah, that was perfection, and the idea of just every episode you're smiling. And you want them to have fun, and they're having fun, and you just forget about life for a little bit kind of thing. Again, kind of like that similar element to something like Kimono Friends, where you just turn it on, you just want to see this character find fun stuff and be excited and enjoy things. And that was the whole reason why that Kimono Friends took off, and it was literally breaking numbers on Nico Nico and stuff. It was just this concept that you think about these people that are just coming home, they're tired, and they turn the show on, and it makes them forget about everything, and you're sucked into wanting to see this character discover things. And that was kind of the same concept with Mitsubishi Colors for me there in that time. Slow Start.
I'm trying, a little trying bit, so hard to remember.
Slow Start was definitely another one where she was sure about.
Wasn't she?
Yeah, she was a. She got sick or something like that, and skipped out on school for a while. So that was her whole thing, was being a. Again, a slow start is missing out a year. And it is one of those shows that where it starts out, it's pretty kind of stuck in her wallowing about what she's going through. But at the same time, it kind of quickly shifts into all these characters kind of taking her in and showing her fun and enjoying life. But again, kind of constantly, and I think that was the only issue I had with it, is constantly going back to, these people are going to leave me once they find out that I'm that I lost a year and I'm actually a, you know, a year older than them and stuff. But it was still, it was a lot of fun. I think that was another, no, that was Cloverworks. Another one that had like really incredible animations, despite being a more moe, you know, very slice of life, light, drama light, cute girls kind of show. So cute horse girls doing
pretty cute sure things. That we know which one that one is.
Umamusume Pretty Derby. So cute, cute anime horse girls doing horse things. That one actually is really incredible, though. It's done by PA Works, and they did it in like collaboration with an app. And the really cool thing about it is, if you really look into the actual horses they're named after, they're actual real horses. And a lot of their stories, spoiler alert, does kind of follow a lot of the the happenings of the actual horses. So if you know horses well and race horses, you might already know what's going on with certain characters. But it's interesting, though. Music Girls.
I can't remember.
I think we knew it by the Japanese name, I think.
I'm going to say probably.
Ungaku Shoujo. Yeah, that's what we knew it by, was Ungaku Shoujo. That one was just like a really bad title show. But it is cute girls doing cute things, so. And I think that one, more than most idol shows, is more focused on the cute girls. But, yeah.
NMEL? Cheer girls.
Ungaku Shoujo, I think I was the only one that finished that one. I don't know why. I think it was because it was, like, made by, Hitomi Miyano was the series composition and script writer, and she's actually, like, a past idol, so I thought that would be really cool. Like, she could really write this story really well, but turns out she's not a great writer. Or she's a great writer, but they screwed up her story. It could be either way, so we don't know. We don't know what happened to that one.
Oh, yeah, that was the one that was really off the wall.
Like, started out in the airport, and then she randomly gets pulled on the stage, and she's, like, a super awesome dancer or something like that, but then she just sucked at singing.
Yeah, it was something really off the wall about
it. She went behind the because it was, like, the whole thing was, like, you know, bring, you know, they were going to select a girl to go up on stage.
She
was a great
supporter. She could support really well.
So she gets on the stage, and she dances perfect because she memorized, like, all the dance moves and was perfect at it. But she couldn't sing. So she goes behind the curtain and she like goes, you do this, you do this, you do this. And then suddenly they all do an excellent job. But then they take those dance routines that they did in that first episode and use it for the rest of the entire show. Because they didn't want to animate any more dance routines or something. So, yeah. That's another Studio Dean stain. Kind of like Fate's Day Night. Like, why did you do this, Dean? Why did you ruin something? Anyways, Anima Yell.
That's the Cheer Girls.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That again is another one of those ones where it was surprisingly good in the animation department for a lot of the scenes. Not always, but they did some really good scenes with that show, and I was surprised how much fun I had with that show. Not an incredible show, but I really did enjoy it. Genki Girl wins as always with that one. Watatin.
This one was another one of those all absolutely perfect cute girls doing cute things, but
it has preferred big sister eyes gaze mode in it a lot. So, and again, that's one of those ones where it's like, but is
she doesn't really do anything horrible, but
she just
it's
really gets overwhelmed with the cuteness of the little sister and her friends. And but there is an element of their, like, the huffy-puffy thing. She gets a little huffy-puffy when she's taking pictures of them, and it's, like, it feels kind of exploitive. But if you go into it kind of like the innocent nature of it and, you know, the big sister, she's not doing anything to them, and it's kind of just cute characters dressing up, having fun, and doing cool things. Plus,
it's one of
an
those,
amazing last episode. If you don't watch any of that, watch the last episode. It was amazing.
It's one of those that it's just kind of more, obviously the person is overly excited. Doesn't necessarily mean anything, but it can be construed as that. Yeah. And that's the problem, is it's questionable. That's all there is really to it.
And it's not to the levels of, what was that other show that was like literally a season or so before it, with the Uzumaid? Uzume was like, well, that chick was grabbing underwear and sniffing it. I mean, that was, that show was going across the line. Watch 10 was always kind of like the big sister that just kind of really liked cute girls. And she just wanted to take pictures of the girls in her little outfits that she made. It wasn't that she was, it wasn't that she was attracted to them or anything. Just watch the first, if you're not going to watch anyway, watch the last episode. It was incredible. Bermuda Triangle Colorful Best Rally.
You put it on there.
Indro. The next one, Indro.
Indro was adorable. I absolutely loved it.
Indro was, isekai to another world. No, it wasn't isekai. It was just like the heroes got like kind of
isekai. They reset.
It was a reset, yeah. And the only person that really reset back into time was the Demon Lord. And it just kind
became
of
easily the most adorable character in the entire show. But
because
of
Tama's voice, yes, we all know. her voice makes it, so it's okay. But no, it was a fun cast of characters. There was like two episodes in it that were like really bad, but the rest of it was good. Not bad as in like something terrible happened. It was just bad that it was boring episodes. But the rest
Let me guess, the card episode?
The card episode and the ice storm igloo episode where they were getting stuck in their fantasies or something like that. It was just kind of, half of it was a recap episode and half of it was just like, what are we doing here? Anyways, Minaria Friends. I don't know. Minaria Friends kind of borderlines on that edge of like, are they too old? I guess it's the character designs themselves. It's not that they're technically older than most of these characters. Cause like, you know, Blend S, they're working at that point. They're just, I think she was just graduated. And then like Minaria Friends are technically in like a university of some sort. So it was the Rage of Bahamut one.
Oh, okay.
Gotcha. Yuri Rage of Bahamut.
Gotcha.
Yuri Rage of Bahamut episode.
I would have to say I would have a hard time with that one being cute girls doing cute things.
It's more really fantasy Yuri.
Fantasy Yuri. So
yeah, I'll go with that one. Hidori Bocchi that we've talked about too much this episode. Now Hidori Bocchi again. I've mentioned it. It is technically heavy at points. But the heaviness, I think, is only like maybe a couple episodes for about 5-10 minutes,
and that's where I would go with a couple of the ones where we go back and forth on it. Hidori Bocchi is the same to me as most some of the other ones, where it's just there is some heavy points, but it's more like in Hidori Bocchi's case, it's anxiousness of, I don't want to lose my friends, and
anxiety.
That anxiety, because that is her thing, is, and that's what makes her kind of, I don't want to say relatable, but for like I was talking about with Unhappy and stuff, where I really want to see them succeed. It's that underdog. Hidori Bocchi had hit those same tones of, I want to see her succeed.
Yeah, I think that's it's almost the same detriment to some that fall out the lines of something like a Iyashike. In Iyashike, in most cases, you kind of disqualify a lot of shows that have either heavy drama or anything that produces anxiety. Because I think that's a huge killer in it. And I almost feel like in some cases with some of these shows, when they do have like that little bit of stumbling block in there, which is kind of something similar to, I think it was Magic Estella? No, it wasn't Magic Estella. It was, trying to remember the show. It was a show that had like this concept of where this girl is, you know, going to a particular, it was a manga one where they were at a particular little place they could stay, a little dorm, and they were all artists and they were all doing different manga.
Oh yeah.
And the main girl had like extreme anxieties.
Chaos was one of the girl's name. Because I think that we ended up talking about it, or I went back and looked at it or something like that. But yeah, one of the girls' name was Chaos, and I never did finish it, and I wanted to watch it again.
And it was, yeah, and I really enjoyed it. But with that one, it was, a lot of the episodes was around her anxieties, and it was almost like it was one of those things where it almost kind of pulls too much from it, because it's kind of stuck in that anxiety. And so, yeah, sometimes I kind of question sometimes with these shows where is it similar to Iyashike, where sometimes that too much of anxiety can pull away from being two cute girls doing cute things and more into the realm of something else?
I think that there that one is one of those fine line things. It's you would have to have that because like we were talking about at the beginning of this is when cute girls doing cute things is effectively the Ayashi-kei but louder. And so it would probably deem to reason that it has similar rules where there it's a very fine line that balances the is it too far to be considered a cute girls doing cute things or is it too far to consider it a Ayashi-kei?
Yeah. I think it, and maybe that's just something that's kind of more in the realm of who you are and how you feel about it, because I guess in some cases some people can feel less anxiety or
I could see people very much not considering the guy who walks around hunting down the
Mushishi. That is not Ayashi-kei.
Yeah, and yet,
well, I mean, some episodes are
there is a lot of people who argue that it's an Ayashi-kei, and I think some
episodes are.
But at the same time, I can also see an absolute argument going back and forth between two totally different people, one totally seeing it as an Ayashi-kei and another person totally seeing it as not an Ayashi-kei, because it borders on that line a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it like I said, it literally does kind of feel like it's more in the realm of whatever episode you're watching, because some episodes you're watching and you're like, this feels soothing. I mean, you even have like the intro with some of the seasons is very kind of soothing. And then you get into the episode itself and it's very quiet. Nothing really going on. He's just kind of traveling around. It's very peaceful. It's very explorative. And, you know, it takes its time with a lot of these episodes getting into, okay, he gets to the location. They sit down, have tea. They kind of talk about what the situation is. Sometimes the situation is because with the show, he's hunting down these mushi and the mushis are causing some type of effect to the people, and he's trying to figure out what that is and then give them a cure for it. And that effect or that symptom that they're finding is not always detrimental, and the effect of it is not always death and destruction. And so in some cases he might just kind of say, well, it's not that big of a deal, do this and you'll get over it. And that's the whole storytelling, is what that cause is, figuring that out and getting some cool insight into that kind of ecosystem. And in some cases it gets into where it's like, wow, this is really grim. If they don't fix this, it could cause death. It can destroy this village, and they don't do anything about it. And then it shows like the after effect of them not doing anything about it, and it gets very grim and death is happening. I can't say that something like that is going to be, in my perspective, an Ayashi-kei. I want to be relaxed. I want to be kind of sucked into something that's soothing and relaxing, not heavy and dire, I guess. So different. I agree with it with certain episodes, but not definitely not all of it.
What are you hunting for?
Comic girls. There it is. I found it like right after I finished. I've been talking that entire spiel that I just did. I've been searching for this show. Comic girls was the one where she was, had very much anxiety.
Is Chaos, right? Or Chos.
Oh, the Tsubasa? We had Takahashi. I forgot about that.
No, it's a totally different group. Or is that her nickname?
She was the manga girl. She did the shonen manga. I don't remember what her name was, though.
Did they have nicknames?
I know that she had a pen name that was more boyish, if that's what you mean. Because she was the one that... Tsubasa was the one that did the shonens... I want to say that Ruki was the one that did the Yuri or the Arrow stuff.
I don't think this is the show that I'm thinking of.
I know I've watched this one alone. I'm not sure if you watched it.
I did
separate, but
it was one of those that I really enjoyed. Wanted to go back and watch it.
It's a really good one. I think you would really enjoy it. The main character was Chaos.
Okay.
Moeta.
I was going to say, I thought the pink-haired girl was the one that was Chaos.
She was terrible. Like, she couldn't write anything really good, and everybody didn't like her stuff or something like that. That's right. She drew manga about girls, and nobody believed that they were real. They were written by a girl because they just... What was the way that they put it? It was something like, you know, everybody believed that her stuff was not like, even though she wrote manga about girls, everybody believed that they didn't feel genuine because she didn't know how to write about girls or something like that. It was bad, even though she's a girl. Yeah, Ruki did the Euro manga. Koyomi did the, it was a shoujo artist. Tsubasa was a shonen. Yeah. Good stuff, though. Let me put that in here before I forget, because I want to make sure I tag it. Girls. Was that 2018? See, where was that? Help a Fox Senko-san. Is enough girls? There's like two of them, literally. I don't know.
There's four.
Well, I mean, cute girls. I don't know if I classify the main fox as being very cute. She's more like
the mama. She's a mama.
I'm not going to give this one that category. Even though Senko is absolutely adorable.
It is an adorable show. I would have a hard time. I don't know. Because in all ways, it fits into the category of cute girls doing cute things. But I think it's
literally
fits
a one
better.
Guy
I think
one girl always together.
I think it fits better as an Iyashike, honestly. It really is. Because it's fluffy.
It's so fluffy.
Because it's fluffy.
But even then, it's like so like driven by his like downingness. So like half the show is like, this guy needs help.
That's why he needs a Senko-san.
Yeah. The last like 1 minute of each episode is definitely Iyashike. Because it's first-person perspective of her taking care of you. Are you lost? No. That was just straight-up comedy and absolute madness.
No, I would not even put that as cute things. There is cute girls in that show, but I would not say that is not cute.
They do a lot of not cute things to survive. A lot of very not cute things. Like keeping yourself hydrated.
Yeah, even you can't even try to kind of paint it as because it's cute girls doing it. It's still not cute.
I don't know why that wasn't even the list. How heavy are the dumbbells you lift? That one technically is classified in that realm. I don't know. There's a lot of muscly dudes in it.
Well,
though.
It's because, and that's what I was talking about
it's
earlier.
Cute girls doing muscle stuff.
It is, yeah. It this is where the you're starting to see it go into the like we were talking about with the motorcycles and stuff like that. Where
here's a person that now, is diehard in this thing, and they go, "Hey, if I slap cute girls on it, I can make a manga of it."
Yeah,
and then Layback Camp. I know camping stuff. Let me slap cute girls on it. I can make a manga. I know a lot about bikes. I know a lot about tanks. see where we're going with this?
Yeah.
Which is great because it's almost like it needs to be a genre. It could be a podcast in its own is this idea of this is my knowledge. Let me make a manga of it because there's so many. Like I said, Layback Camp, Girls on Panzer. These are like the whole idea of otaku. Otaku isn't necessarily anime fan. It's, otaku are people that are, you know, have great interest in one particular topic. There's gun otaku, tank otaku, bike otaku, and these are kind of, it seems like the cause and effect of that, where you have one of these people that are this, and they go and make a manga of it that are so cool to get the insight of while having cute girls or, you know, maybe a club of guys or whatever.
Somebody
getting that insight.
Somebody who is really a good writer will have gobs of knowledge on different aspects. Like one of the things that absolutely drew me into Michael Crichton was his absolute tendency to overanalyze whatever it was and if you read his books, it would make perfect sense that these writers would do the exact same thing where they overanalyze everything about it and then they make a character who's absolutely obsessed with muscles and its tone and how the skeletal structure does this when the muscle is doing this. So yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah. And I can argue that some take it a little bit too far,
take it way too far.
I mean, that's just like Bakuman, where you had like the arguments of what was better and what, and getting all that stuff. It's like at some point you're kind of going, yeah. It's kind of like literally when you're, you know, with a group of friends and these two people are just going at it and they're getting way into statistics and you're like, I have no clue what they're talking, like football or something like that. I'm going to go over here. I have no clue what you guys are talking about and I don't care. It's that same mentality for me. So, yeah.
I get enough of it from my cute girls doing cute things, and I learn a decent amount of things that I don't much care to know.
I don't really care about this, but it's so cute, I'll know it now. And now whenever somebody asks me, how did you know that? Well, there was this one show with these cute girls, and they were talking about that.
Are You Lost is an excellent example of information I didn't need to know, but apparently I know now.
Chris, so I know you just got out of the hospital, but we really have to know, how did you save those people? Well, I watched this show where this girl took a bottle of water out of the ocean and stuck it in their...
It's forever burned in your eyes. You cannot get away from it. It happened. Yes, it did. It's not a lie. That happened.
It's like one of those things where... Yeah, I think even in the show they said that, where it's like, we'll never talk about this ever again. And that would be the same thing. Like, if you were trapped somewhere and you did something like that, it would be literally, okay, when we get back to the island, like, the chopper's pulling up, and you're like, okay, everybody, it's kind of like Vegas. Whatever happened here, we don't talk about, okay? The cameras are going to be in your face. You're going to say, man, we just...
It was a big blur. We don't remember nothing.
We ate bugs. We found some puddle of water somewhere. We don't talk about anything else. Everything else didn't happen. And you don't write a book about it later, Timmy. I know you want to write a book and be a bestseller, but no. They'll have to wait. You wait until I die, and then you can make a book at like 80. I don't care. Timmy, I'm telling you. Anyways. Demon Girl Next Door... yeah, I absolutely adorable show, and I'm glad it's getting a dub here soon, so more people can watch it. It's best, like, that's like a magical girl where it's not even focused on the magical girls, just focused on the cute girls. It's kind of like similar to, what was that one other one? The magical girl. It was a totally Japanese title because I don't think they even bothered translating it. The girl that always like transform into a swimsuit.
Yeah. I'm tired of being a magical girl.
Yeah, I'm tired of being a magical girl. That sounds right. Or don't want to be a magical girl. Being a magical girl. Like, it's like this crazy... Mahou Shoujo Nante Moi Desu Ka. It's like one of those crazy semi-long titles that they even bother translating. I've had enough of being a magical girl. Because she transforms and went to a swimsuit. Yeah, very, very much so one of those ones where technically it's just making, it's basically making fun of magical girls, but at the same time, it's kind of more about the girls and messing around. So, Rifle is beautiful. Don't know, I didn't watch long enough, but it's technically cute girls doing airsoft gun sniping. So, no, it was laser guns. Yeah, they were laser guns. Yeah, that's right. Because it was like, this was like no impact to this whatsoever. We already talked about Asteroid of Love a little bit. Didn't technically finish it, but it's another Togekobo, cute girls doing Asteroid Club, so. And geological stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like dirt and rock stuff, so. 227, another idol show. Great show. I want more of it, but, again, more in the realm of idol shows and individual character stories, not so much, and very heavy drama. So that might be a damper for most people. And then one that's airing right now is Diary of Our Days at the Breakwater. So it's cute girls doing fishing and crab digging and getting stuck in mud and cooking. So yeah. Do we even answer the question? Like I said, I think it's kind of one of those ones where it technically began with things like K-On! And, you know, Strike Witch is even also Girls on Panzer, where it was creating this idea of you can technically sell a show on just characters being cute and having fun together. But I think it was about the point where, is the Order of Rabbit and Three Leaves of Colors and all those shows kind of started popping up that you really felt like it, this can almost be sustained by just cute characters doing the most kind of mundane things at times, but the fact that they're so cute and they're having so much fun, it sustains itself. So it's kind of more in the area of like the 2016 point that it really kind of needed to become a label on its own just so that we had something to tag it with. So, yeah.
It's actually kind of funny. This list has made me want to go back and watch a bunch of different shows.
Yeah, I want to watch Is the Order Rabbit again. And
definitely.
Kind of want to go back and watch Comet Girls and Hinako Note again. Three Days, Three Colors. I got the Blu-ray of that. I really want to watch that one again. And we still need to finish K-On. It's been like a long time coming.
Yeah, Sabagebu, Stella 3, C3. I definitely want to look at those ones again. And I'm absolutely going crazy trying to remember what the other one was called.
What other one?
The third one. The one that I was saying that was absolute, wasn't cute girls doing cute things at all.
That was gun-based?
Yeah.
How X Machine Gun, or where that one was called?
No, that one was that one was pretty boys.
The main girl was female.
Yes, she was.
Was it Haru X Machine Gun? Was
yeah,
it Haru X
Machine Gun? That's what that one was.
I don't remember if it was Haru. Aroharu X Machine Gun? Yeah, Aroharu X Machine Gun. That show. a show that didn't... I guess wasn't that one like one of the very few ones where the main girl wasn't technically like full on bricks, but she was pretty close.
She was pretty daggum close. That's for sure.
She wasn't full on though. Give her some credit. I don't know. I can't think of any other airsoft girl shows besides those ones.
Yeah, Stella was taking it pretty serious. If I remember right, Sabagebu was more the Stella was more the cutesy and. Sabagebu was taking it a little bit more serious, and this third one was just absolutely irreverent. It just made fun of everything involving it. That one was the one that had the alien reference, where they made fun of aliens and tied it into their because
they had the Arnold Schwarzenegger guy in the gun shop.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, Sabagebu is the joke one.
I've got some Mad Max in here. Anyways. That was a fun run through of all the cute girls doing cute things that at least I've seen scrolling through thousands of anime titles that I've watched and hoping that my eye catches each of the covers. So I probably missed a whole crap ton.
Yeah, but I almost guarantee you that.
That's what happens when you scroll through that many stuff that quickly. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoy this little run through of cute girls and cute things. Hopefully you maybe found some shows that you might want to check out. That's always one of the fun things about this whole thing is if you're looking for this particular quote unquote genre, you can find some and maybe check them out and let us know what you guys think. And yeah, I think pretty much all the ones that we've listed are pretty much, unless I specifically went out of my way to kind of groan or whatever, they're all shows that we really love. So, yeah, check them out. Definitely your recommendations. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoy this. As usual, we're at talkspirit.com. You can go there for all of our anime, new and old, great community form, like stop. Social media links right side, and a podcast series button up there where you can click on to find our other topic-related podcast episodes you can search via your podcasting device choice of choice, of thing of choice. I don't know. I'm going to go for that one. But yeah, we hope you guys enjoyed this episode. And as always, we thank you all for listening, and we hope you all take care.
Oh.